Welcome back to the Chai Aruch HaNachyami Learning Program. This is Daniel Eisenberg, and we are in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, beginning Shmuel Beis today. Mazel Tov on the completion of Shmuel Aleph. I call it the completion as opposed to Siyum, even though really completion is just a translation of the word Siyum, to demonstrate the point that really it's one Sefer. Our tradition is that it's Sefer Shmuel, and it has come to be divided into two different Sfarim, Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, but really it's all really Shmuel, so it's not a proper Siyum until the end, but it's still a huge accomplishment. Everyone should feel amazing as part of this program in just a few months, just 3 months, finishing Yehoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel Aleph. Really incredible, and you're just, I'm looking forward to learning this coming month with you, Sefer Shmuel Beis. And today's parak picks up immediately where yesterday's parak left off, or at least 2 days after. 2 days after David's defeat of Amalek and returned to Ziklag, remember they, you know, Baruch Hashem, they were zocha to return all their hostages and defeat the enemy. Baruch Hashem, should be the same for us. And what happens is that there's a man who claims to be an Amaleki convert. He comes to inform David that Shaul and Yonatan have been killed. He tells him what happened in the war. David didn't know. David was dealing with his own war with in Ziklag. So David demands how he knows that, and this Amaleki convert says that he was there. He was there in the war. He saw Shaul dying on a sword, as we saw. But he Shaul asked that he finish him off, and he did. And then David, first he they tear kriya, they tear their clothing, they lament, they cry, they fast, and then David orders one of his attendants to kill the Amaleki. He says, you killed the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed king of God, and therefore you deserve to be killed, and this man is killed. David then laments a kina. Kina is a lament, a sad poem, you know, like we read Kinos on Tisha B'Av. So there's a kina over here that David writes. It's a poem. It's a little bit hard to read, and you know, with Mefarshim help out a little bit because it's just its poetic nature. But there's a couple of very famous prominent lines. One of them a little bit more famous, one a little bit less. But there's a line that comes up a couple of times: Eich naflu giborim, which is often translated as, oh, how the mighty have fallen, or how the mighty have fallen, or how have the mighty fallen. It's unclear if it's a question. It's said a couple of times, so it could be sometimes it's a question, sometimes it's just an exclamation. But we see like three times, Eich naflu gibor in besocha milchama. How could the mighty ones have fallen in the midst of the war? We see it a few times, this line. And this is the source of it. Now, that's a line that's, you know, popular even in, you know, even in secular circles and secular culture, they're familiar with this line. A little bit less famous in outside of the Torah world, but a line that we're familiar with on Shabbos is this line that Shaul and Yonasan, he says, this is in Pasuk, this is in Parak Alf, again, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Shaul v'Yonasan hen ahavim v'hanimim b'chayehem u'mosam lo nifradu. Shaul and Yonasan are beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their deaths they are not separated, they're not parted. What's unclear, is it parted from each other, parted from Hashem, whatever it is. Minisharim kalu, they are lighter than eagles, me'arayos gaveru, and stronger than lions. Now this exact line, is actually a line that we say almost every single Shabbos, just before Musaf in Avarachamim. Avarachamim. So this is one of the lines that we say. So it's this is the source. Now you know where it is if you didn't know before. And just one thought to share with you, I think, is interesting. You see this theme repeating itself. I don't have it completely developed, but just it's hard to ignore this point. We see that there's this Amaleki man. Right? He's an Amaleki convert who comes in, and he's part of the story. What's the significance of that? Why do we have this Amaleki? But the truth is that it's not the first time or the most recent time, you know, it's not the only that we have recently seen an Amaleki. If you go back in the previous parak, David was dealing with an Amaleki army that attacked Ziklag and took their women and children captive. So we see a couple of Amalekim in these last two stories. And of course, this is the story that is the story where Shaul dies. And it makes you think back to Shaul's infamous war against Amalek, which might be his greatest failing that we've seen, where he stops short of wiping out Amalek. Now, I don't fully understand exactly who this people is. Were there more Amalekim that Shaul did not defeat aside from Agag? I mean, presumably, all this entire Amaleki army was not born from just Agag, the knight that he was left over by Shaul. But there is this Amaleki people over here, and Chazal do condemn Shaul for leaving over Agag, and say from that, because of that, Haman comes into existence in the Purim story. But we see that what's Shaul's defeat over here? So first of all, he is defeated by the Pelishtim. And had David been involved in this war, perhaps David could have helped. Perhaps David would have been able to go to war and make sure that Shaul and Yonatan survive. But David was distracted, right? These few days, David was distracted because the Amaleki army attacked Ziklag and took his women and children, meaning him and his people, hostage. So David had to run after them, and David was involved with that war, and he had no idea what was going on with the war of the Plishtim versus Klal Yisrael. So perhaps, had it not been for this Amaleki army, David could have been there and could have helped save Shaul. And even more, this Amaleki is the one who actually killed Shaul. Now, of course, Shaul wanted to die at that point. He requested to die at that point, but it was this Amaleki who did it. So we see that Shaul's defeat is at the hands, essentially, even though it's technically through the Pelishtim, but it's really through the Amalekim. It's through the Amaleki army that distracted David, and then this one Amaleki who actually killed him. And also, when it makes us think about the power of the remnant, we have Shaul just left over one person. He left over one man, Agag, and the animals also, but he left over Agag, and we see what came out of that. And in these couple of stories, we see one survivor. We see in Parak Lamed, two Parakim ago, that there was one person who is left over. He was a slave of Amalekim. He was one person who was left over, and he was the one who led David and his army to find out where the Amalekim were camping out. So that one survivor was essential. And then in today's Parak, we see that there was one Amaleki convert, one person who was there to kill Shaul and informed David about it, and was ended up being killed himself. And David, eliminated that last Amaleki. That power of that last one, the last one. And that's also what we see in the Purim story, that there's one more man who will not bow to Haman. Everybody's bowing to him, but there's one more man who's refusing to bow, and Haman says, "I have to destroy the entire Jewish people because of this." One person's not bowing, you destroy the entire nation. Haman says, "Yes, because I've learned the lesson. I know the power of just one person staying true to their values. I know the power of the remnant of the She'eris Yisrael, and I have to wipe it out now." Of course, doesn't work out so well for Haman, Baruch Hashem. But something for us to think about: even if you're the last sane person in the room, you can't stop being sane. If you're the last sane nation on the planet Earth, you have to stay true and remain that remnant, because the power of the remnant of the She'eris Yisrael, of what's left, is really incredible. Our enemies know that, and halavai, we should know it as well.